Praise God. I am ready for the King to come back. And you know what today is? Have any of you thought about what today is? Palm Sunday. If you didn't already know that, your bulletin should have given you a clue to that, because it had it on there. Blessed. And as you think about that, can you imagine what it was like to have been in the throng when Jesus passed by? They were hailing him King, and they were throwing down their robes. They really didn't know what they had. But we want to look in the Word of God tonight. We're going to turn to the 12th chapter of the book of John. We're going to read these scriptures, but we're going to look at them in a different way. Our King is going to come. Thy King cometh. Let's read it here in the 12th chapter of John, verses 12 through 19, where we find these words: on the next day, when the much people that were come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him and cried, Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. And Jesus, when he had found a young ass, sat thereon, as it is written, Fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, thy King cometh, sitting on an ass's coat. These things understood not his disciples at the first, but when Jesus was glorified, then remembered they that these things were written of him, and that they had done these things unto him. The people therefore that was with him when he called Lazarus out of his grave and raised him from the dead bear record. For this cause the people also met him, for that they had heard that he had done this miracle. The Pharisees therefore said among themselves, Perceive ye how ye prevail nothing? Behold, the world is gone after him. Father, thank you for your wonderful word, and we thank you for the record, Lord, that has been left for us, Lord, in your word that tells us all these things that happened. And Father, we thank you, Lord, that this is not the end of the story by any means, but there's much more to it. And Father, tonight we pray that you might anoint our lips with clay. Lord, let us be your vessel, Lord, to pour forth that which you have placed within us, that we might catch a new and a fresh glimpse of you as our King of Kings and our Lord of Lords. And everyone says, Amen. Praise God. I tell you, when I read this passage, it almost makes the hair stand up on my head. To really look into God's word and to see how it is. And the people at the time, they didn't understand what they was doing. Jesus had tried to prepare them, and he tried to tell them what. And they came out, some just because, as it said, they had heard these things were written down. They had heard that. And the people knew that there was a certain popularity that went with Christ in his day and his time, because Lazarus had been raised from the dead. They no doubt had heard this, and it had spread about among them. And they wanted to come and see him because he was coming into town. But there was something more that was going to come. They cheered him and they bowed before him, but his popularity was to wane very quickly. And we see tonight it's not always those that would come out waving their palm branches and crying, Hosanna, Hosanna, that really meant well, because there were some in that crowd who did not mean well as they came out on that Palm Sunday, and the events that came after this. But you know what? It just made the Pharisees a little bit angry at his popularity, where we find it says the Pharisees said among themselves, Perceive ye how ye prevail nothing? The world is gone after him. And oh, today I wish our whole world would go after him. No, he didn't come. They were disappointed because he did not come in a king in regal robes in the beginning. They had never really accepted him as their king because he didn't come like they thought he was going to come. And as I thought about that, I begin to think, Lord, how is it going to be when you do come? How is it going to be when you come? Will people be looking for you? Yes, it's been written in the Word. We've seen it in the Word of God. We read the Word of God. We can look to the 24th chapter of the book of Matthew, and we see what he tells us will precede his coming. He says, and as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be at the time of the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So shall it be. And when he began to talk to them in those days, and when he listed down the things that was going to come, and all of that was there, he says, this is just the beginning of trouble. That was the beginning back there, even as these things were written. And I thought, Lord, how really close are we really to your coming to catch your church away? But one day we're going to hear his trumpet sound. And you know, the people of Jesus' day, and bless his heart, John gave an eyewitness account of what he saw. John was called the beloved. One that people were jealous of John because of the position he had with Jesus Christ. But you know, John was one that really wanted to be close to Jesus. And you know, I've always found a person that really wants to be close to Jesus can be just as close as they want to be. So we need not envy anybody else's experience in the Lord, because he's got that same thing for every one of us. It's free for our taking. He shows no partiality in his kids. But you know, sometimes you find some people that are a lot easier to love than others, because they just demonstrate that love back. And no doubt that was how John was. He loved Jesus with his whole heart. He showed that love. And it was easy to be loved and to love him. And we find that he really had a relationship with his master. And he was willing to pay the price to get that relationship and that place with Jesus Christ. John wrote one of the most, he puts things in his book that's not found in any other eyewitness account in the scripture. You can read other accounts of it, but John seemed to be the fullest. And I wondered if that wasn't because he paid just a little higher price than the others, and he got a little closer to his maker. Therefore, his writing was altogether different than the other accounts. Though it's in the same book, the same accounts are given, he goes into greater detail because he saw something in there that others did not see. But it's his main purpose in writing his book was not to glorify John. John didn't seek to glorify John, but he sought to glorify his heavenly Father. And I would say to any of us today, if we do any other thing, if we do anything to bring glory to ourselves, we better watch out, because we are soon about to fall and make a mess of things. But if we will let Jesus go before and let him make the way and love him and seek to glorify him, then all things can be accomplished of him. And we find, you know, in this gospel, we find this a talk about the triumphal entry that he made here. And the whole city went out to see him. And I just wish today that we could get the whole city to turn out to see what's happening. As I go by places, and I know we pass by many places on the way home, and on our travels about, you see some of the houses of sin and some of the halls that are literally packed, and people complain about money and all of this, and yet they're pouring it in to the dens of the devil. And you know, I thought, oh God, if we just had a platform and we could stand up in the midst of all of them and declare you, they would probably run us out of town. They wouldn't give us that opportunity. But I thought, Lord, I've been tempted many times to say, Lord, please let me crash one of those parties one day. Lord, let me go and crash their party. Tell them something that would give them something that would last for eternity and for time. John wanted us to know. He recorded his eyewitness accounts so that those days would not take us unprepared. His disciples had become a little dull in their understanding. For verse 16 says, these things understood not his disciples at the first. But when Jesus, it took Jesus being glorified, for they really understood what had really happened. And he had spent a little over three years preparing for what was going to happen. But they were dull of hearing. And I thought, God, don't let us be so dull in reading the signs of the time that your day and that time take us unaware. For the word says that it should not. He's given us everything. And one day our King is going to come, and I cannot help but feel that it is at the door. And I think it we must do, all we can do, with everything we have to do to reach our world for Jesus Christ, because he is coming. Our King is going to come about. And as sure as his popularity was very popular here at this time, it was about to turn to a raging mob. He was going to give his life. This that they had hailed the King was going to give his life so that he could truly become our King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And that one that could forgive our sins, that could wash us as white as the snow, that one that could heal our bodies because of the stripes that was laid upon his back, he paid a great price for you and I. And I think sometimes, Lord, you paid too great a price. When I see humanity going the ways that they are, I think, oh God, how much and how great of love that you had for humanity. You loved them so much that you were willing to die. And then I think today how people still do the Lord Jesus Christ. And they continue. Today you'll still find people that will mock you for your stand. If you haven't been mocked lately, well, you just hang around a while. You'll get it after a while. And they will maybe poke fun at you, and they'll say, that old fanatic, they just go to church all the time. And man, we even ask them what they do for joy and entertainment, and they say, go to church. Now they'll say, can you imagine anything as foolish as that? They'll tell you that, and they cannot see how we enjoy coming to the God's house, how we enjoy what we do. But I tell you, it is wonderful. There's an old song says it's wonderful, and it's just powerful, and it's full of glory. And if we could get the world to see that today. But yet they're mockers and they're scoffers, just as they was. And everything is going as if we would read the account and the Word of God. Every man, it seems, has coming to the point and the day and the time where man just says, I am just going to do what I good and well please, and I'll do it my way, and I will do things my own way. Well, the Word of God says there was a time that people did that because there were no judges in the land. They did that which was right, they thought was right in their own eyes. And what did it get them? It brought them to defeat. Many of them were killed by the thousands. Many of them suffered terrible things because they did that which they thought was just right in their own eyes, never giving God the time of day. And I thought, Lord, you're a God of love and you're a God of mercy, but one day you're going to turn and judgment upon this world. And when I see the things going on within our country, and God help us, we're right here at an election time, and you try to pick from the lesser of the two evils. What do you do? Where do you look for a candidate that's got qualifications that you could put some confidence in or some hope to say, well, they will help get us out of this mess? Well, I'm here to tell us, my word says that it's just going to get worse and worse and worse. So I don't know how sometimes to advise people. I said, you just have to make your choice. You just have to let God direct you. But when we see these things, and we see these things in our government, we see things in our churches all across our land where there is this disregard many times to the house of God, and we see things that are being brought, and we see things that are brought and made in the churches of the lifestyles of some of the people, and you thank God, what does keep you from just throwing up? And today when our government sanctions devil worship because they say we have the freedom of choice and we can have our homosexual and our gay churches and we can have all of that, what is our country coming to? I cannot help but think it's going to be like it was. I believe that in Noah's day, God just got so sick that he said, I've got to call a halt to this. He said, Noah, you got to get busy and you got to get to building an ark because I want you to be spared. And he said, furthermore, I can just hear this conversation between he and God. And he said, build an ark for the salvation of your family. And as I've thought about that through the years with every nail that Noah built, he was a witness of coming disaster. And I think today with every gospel message that is preached, every time somebody opens that sacred word and they speak forth what God says, that's another nail in our ark. And I believe it won't be too long before our Heavenly Father is going to say, it's enough. Go and bring them home. And you talk about the king coming. In that song, it talks about how the railroads, the cars would rattle down the tracks with no one at the helm. The airplanes will veer off course. We will be out of here, by the way. Thank God. There's going to be a bunch of people missing in action because we're going to be where the action is. We will be taken out of the mess and the chaos. But I am so glad that we have the promise that our King is coming. And I'm here to announce to you tonight that He is coming. And I just don't see how He can tarry very much longer. When we see the indifference many times to the house of God and to the things of God. And you'll see people and you will talk to people and they say, well, if I go to church twice a year, that's almost too much for me. I said, twice a year, man, I couldn't begin to number that on my hands and fingers and toes and everything else I got. I could never keep a record of how many times I've been in the house of God, and I intend to keep being there till the day He either takes me out in the rapture or I go by the death route. Somebody told me this week, they said, Dolores, you can do more things and get more places than anybody I've ever seen. And you know why? Sometimes I feel the need. I feed you, and I think sometimes I have to have some feed back, too, that builds my faith, and it helps instructs my faith, and it builds me up, and I see the necessity of that. We see the necessity of us coming together as a body of Christ, and we come together, and we have such wonderful times of fellowship. Can you imagine what that fellowship is going to be when we get in heaven? The fellowship and the time that we're going to have around the throne. But until then, He says we must tarry and we must wait and we must be about His business while we await the sound of the trumpet. Now, as for me, it could sound right now. I just had the goosebumps on me as we sang that song tonight, The King is Coming. It was just feeling like I was going to rise off that piano bench anytime because it speaks to our spirit a hope. Aren't you glad that we have hope in Him? And I feel so sorry for the people that are out in the world tonight that will go home. Many of them will have picked up a deadly disease tonight. Many of them will go home with such splitting headaches and such a sick stomach that all they'll do all day tomorrow is throw up from what they call fun today. Sin has consequences. But when we go to the house of God, thank God, we can go and we can have a clear mind. When we get back home, we can have our burdens lifted. If we came to the house of God, that's a place to leave our burdens at our altar of prayer. And if we can't pray through to victory on our own, we call for the saints to come around and help bear that burden. You don't get that in the world. They'll get tired of you after a while. But the people of God will just stay in there with you. And they'll help bear those burdens. That's how we fulfill, it says. Bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. I'm so glad that we have this hope tonight. It's truly wonderful to know our Jesus. And yet, as I think about that, it burdens me because our King is approaching. And yet, there are many who still do not know Him. And I think, oh God, help us to spend more time weeping between the porch and the altars, not only in your house, but in our homes, on your bed, as you lay up on your bed at night, to pray for those that are outside the ark of safety and for those Christians that are struggling with problems and things. And I just thank God that during the last number of weeks, almost weekly, God has put people in our path that have needed help. And you, with your prayers, have helped to bear the burdens of those. That's what the church is all about. To reach out their hands and they see love and they see it in demonstration in our hearts and in our lives. And they come to the house of God for God to minister to them. God help us to do our praying in our prayer closets so that when they come, we will be equipped and have the wisdom of God and His direction to know how to help. And how to let them know that we care. But the world goes on tonight. And as they go home, many will have paid a high price for this one night that they thought was pleasure. But aren't you glad that you can come to God's house You can be refreshed. I said the thing that it's so great about going to the house of God, you go and the Word and the Spirit ministers to you and pours into your vessel, and you can leave the house of God as pure as you came, and you can go out of the house of God smelling just like you came. You're not polluted with all that stuff out there in the world, and you're set up to go out for a week. I tell you, I need my vessel filled every day. And I see my need of it being filled every day. Don't you? And we get that as we have time and as we come into His presence. And one day shortly, I shared a little bit with Sister G as we was in the car this afternoon. One day, Thursday, I believe it was, Thursday night in my study, God gave me something. And He said, "This is for the church." It so blessed my soul. And one day God will release me to share that with you. I tell you, it blessed me, and I have gone through it all ever since Thursday, and I have gone back and I have read and I have reread. And on Friday, somebody came to me and they gave it to me also for that person, I believe. They said, "Dolores, we are so discouraged in our ministry." Young fella. He says, "I am so discouraged in my ministry, I just feel like, what is the ministry all about? What is this thing that is called ministry?" I said, "Brother, just let me get my Bible. I believe I can help you." And I began to share with him some of the things that God had dropped in my heart through a verse of Scripture. I said, "You take it, you read it again and again. Let it minister to you." And then I said, "Don't you dare give way to the discouragement that the enemy is bringing your way." Said, "Because every time you do a work and you step out for God, the devil will be there to challenge you." But I said, God has not kept us in ignorance to His devices. I said, "This is one more thing." He said, "But I don't see any answer. And I just don't know what to do." I said, "Pray. That's all I can tell you." As I joined hands with that young man and prayed, he wept like a baby. And I prayed, "God, refresh him in His spirit. God, build in him a new determination, because we're too near the end to give up and to let the enemy defeat any of us. Why are we here? We're to proclaim that we do have a King coming. No, He's not going to come and we're going to throw palm leaves all over the ground again. But our King is coming, and we will take our rightful place with our King in His kingdom. He is going to rescue us from this." But while we still have a little more time, it lets us know how much more we have to pray, how much more we have to get in our closet, and how determined we must be to see the end of our Christian race with victory. And I don't want to go out of here dragging to the end, but I expect to go out with victory in my heart. And I expect to go out with a song on my lips and a spring in my step. If you thought you ever saw your pastor move fast, you haven't seen anything yet, because it's just going to get faster and faster when we exit this world. But I want to take everybody with me that I can. And I want to announce to everybody that our King is coming. And I want to help point them to the King that is coming, and help them be saved from a life of destruction. And I believe that we're on the threshold of seeing the biggest move of God in this place. In fact, it's already moving in my heart. And it's giving me chill bumps up and down my spine even as I speak. And I know that it has begun. And I know that God is going to bring it to completion. And I'm feeling it moving in the pews. Praise God. I believe God is preparing this church for the greatest move. And I mean, I'm going to go past the beginning, to the way the eons of go, that God is going to restore and give things back that the enemy thought he had taken away, and he thought he was the victor. But I have some news for him. We are not a defeated people, and we will not go out of this life defeated, but we will go forth victorious. And as I said, and as I dreamed, I saw this place full. I've dreamed that for a long, long time. And occasionally the Lord just lets me dream it again. And I tell you, I believe He wants to break every yoke and every bondage that's keeping back the power of God from moving and flowing. and to pray that conviction is visited out all across our city. If we will pray, church, there has to be preparation before there's miracles. I think about that one when Jesus passed by. He laid by that pool so long, and he was told, he said, if you'll just step out. But he said, I can't. And somebody else always gets in before me. You know, there has to be a step taken. We have to start taking steps of faith and make our march of faith. And that's another whole sermon, that we've got to step out and make our march of faith. And we do that in our quiet times with God. And we do that through His Word and getting down. I think the Church of Jesus, as they exit this life, may have some calluses on their knees, because that's the only way we're going to see our world won. If they don't come to the church, we pray conviction on them, and they'll have to get out of their home, and they'll have to seek out somebody that can help them. That's the way I have begun to pray. God, let such conviction just fall and flow, oh God. Cause conviction to go out and just rattle people's cages. I tell you, we got rattled good by the explosion the other morning. I was still kind of laying there in bed just contemplating. I knew I had to get up and get going, but the bed felt so good. But I tell you, I got up and checked out things when everything began to rattle, and I thought, what on earth is happening? And I thought, oh, earthquakes. The Word says there would be earthquakes in divers places. And Brother Dodd, there's never been one in our part of the country. And I thought, God, is it time? And you know, as we see these things, I believe God wants to send a spiritual earthquake. And He can make some people so miserable that they cannot stand themselves until they'll get to somebody. And I believe God's going to have you and I prepared to help them when they come, so we can show them the way to our King and tell Him He's coming back. I believe the harvest is ready. He said, just look on the fields. They're white already. They're not getting ready, folks. They're already ready. And people will say they don't want to hear it. But you know, sometimes they don't, because we don't tell them. And it's our job. I was so thrilled this week, or last night as we'd gone out, to hear the report that someone had been to visit, and they said, we were so glad they came. We were so glad they came. I appreciate you doing that. Getting out and getting there to minister. And we've got those people everywhere, all over our world, that need to be ministered to, because our King is coming. I believe the four winds of trouble are being held back just for a little bit longer. You and I all have loved ones that need to be born into the kingdom of God. We all have people that are so heavy upon our heart that we would like to see one for God. And I believe we can see them one through our prayers. You may not be the one that catches the fish, but you can drop that bait out there and you can dangle it around, and they'll get hungry one day and they will snap. They will catch it before they know what's happening. God will make them ready. Yes, our King is coming, not to be hailed as a king only to be crucified again, but to be hailed and be our King of Kings and our Lord of Lords. And I want to be ready, don't you? I do. But there's still some unfinished work. But tonight, He still has a work for us to do. Oh, praise God. Father, we thank You tonight for the hope that is in Your Word. And Lord, for Your Word that comforts and strengthens and guides. Father, we thank You for Your Word, Lord, that shows us the pattern and shows us the way. Father, tonight we pray that You would grip our hearts with the message of Your coming. Lord, we don't hear very often messages on Your second coming. Father, it's as if people think that it's never going to happen, and we've heard all kinds of excuses. And they will say, my Lord delayeth His coming. But Father, You are going to come. We must not wait, because You come. Father, You come, and You're coming to catch away Your bride. Father, we want everybody to be in that number when You, Lord, bless Your people, oh Father. We thank You for their attentiveness tonight. We thank You for their spirit of cooperation, oh Father, and the spirit of unity that is here, and the bond of love. And Lord, we just want to enlarge that circle of love with those that are out there, Father, that need the love, and they need to hear about this Jesus of whom we speak. Father, make us faithful to herald your message, the message of your coming. Help us to be faithful, Lord, as we pray and we lift up those, O God, that we know are out of the ark of safety, that we might pray and we might persevere, Lord, until they are one and one into your kingdom. Bless this people tonight, O Father. Pour out your blessings in brand new ways, O God, and in great anointing, we pray. In your lovely